In the name of Jesus, who always lives to intercede for us, dear fellow redeemed. Have you ever been in a situation where you knew you were in trouble with somebody in authority? You broke the rules and now you had to suffer the consequences. And it left you feeling a little queasy, a little sick to your stomach. I expect we've all had moments like these. The wait till your father gets home moment. The boss wants to talk to you now. The officer is at the door, dear. Uh-oh. When I was in grade school, my brother and I were at my aunt's house playing with a super ball. Anybody remember those? But that big, big black ball, you could bounce it about a mile high. Well, we're bouncing this ball, and, well, somebody missed it. And it went bouncing down the driveway out toward the four-lane Norfolk Avenue. And the whole time it's going, I'm thinking, oh, please don't hit a car. Please don't hit a car. My prayers were not answered. It hit a car, not any car. It hit a car that had a big gold star on the side of it. It nailed the sheriff's car that just happened to be coming by. I'm thinking, you've got to be kidding me. You can imagine how I felt as that sheriff whipped around and comes whipping up the driveway. I'm thinking, oh, shaking in my boots. I am in so much trouble. Not just with this officer, but wait till Dad finds out. It didn't take long, because before the officer was out of the car, Dad was walking out of the house. But he didn't come to me. He came to the officer. And he said, "Officer, I'm so sorry. It is my fault. I should have been watching my boys. I'll take the blame for this. If there's any damage to your vehicle, I'll pay the price. Just please, out of the goodness of your heart, will you let these kids off the hook?" And he did. Whew. You realize what my dad did for me? He intervened. He went to bat for me. He pled my case. He interceded for me. You realize that what Dad did for me, he's done for all of us, not our dads, rather our Savior. Jesus Christ is the one who has interceded for all of us and still does. In fact, it's one of the ongoing impacts of Jesus' resurrection. Jesus is risen in order to speak to the Father in our defense. Or to put it another way, Christian, Jesus intercedes for you. We want to take a little closer look at what that means and why it matters. Our text for today is taken from the book of Hebrews. Hebrews was written to Jewish Christians. It was designed to draw a contrast between the ways of the Old Testament and the way of Christ. It sometimes bears the subtitle, "The Good and the Better." Well, one of the contrasts that the author draws is the contrast between the Old Testament priesthood and Jesus, the greater priest. Why is Jesus called a priest? Well, think about how the Bible describes what the priest did. Hebrews 5. "Every high priest is selected from among men and is appointed to represent them in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sin." So the number one job of a priest was to represent the people before God, to offer sacrifices, bulls and rams, but also to offer prayers, intercessions. the incense that the priest burned was kind of a visual representation of those prayers, of those intercessions being offered to God. The trouble is, there were some shortcomings of that Old Testament priesthood. For one, those priests kept dying. God had to keep replacing them again and again and again, whereas Jesus, God never had to replace. When Jesus was installed into his office, it was a permanent office, a permanent position. That's what the writer of the Hebrews means in the opening verse of our text. Now there were many of those priests, since death prevented them from continuing in office, but because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Old Testament priests, temporary. Jesus, permanent. The second advantage that Jesus had over those old priests was they were all sinners. Jesus wasn't. Because Jesus lived a perfect life, because he was conceived without any sin, because he fulfilled all of God's commands, he was unlike the other priests. He could, because he didn't have to redeem himself, he could redeem everybody else. That's what our writer means. Such a high priest meets our needs, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Jesus, the perfect high priest, was able to do what we can't do, and no one else could. Again, unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. There's the number one reason we call Jesus our high priest, because he made an offering of himself. He offered up his perfect life on the cross for our sins. In that sense, Jesus was both a sacrifice and the sacrificer. He was both the lamb and the priest. Once Jesus carried out that once and for all sacrifice, once he said, "It is finished," that didn't mean that he was done being a high priest. No, Jesus, in his state of exaltation, continues to be a high priest, carrying out that second role, namely, as an intercessor. Jesus continues to bring prayers to the Father on our behalf. This is how our writer puts it. Jesus is able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for them. Actually, Paul makes it even a little clearer in Romans. Jesus Christ, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. So, what does that mean, that Jesus is interceding for us? The word intercede comes from a Latin word that means to come between, to get in the middle. It reminds me of those clown cowboys that get in the middle of the rider and the bull after the bull throws the rider, right? It's in the middle. But actually, interceding means more than just actions. It has to do with words. When my father came in between the officer and me, it wasn't just his presence that made a difference. It was his words. My father, in effect, brought a petition to the officer. He said, "Officer, please forgive them." Officer, let me take the blame. Let me pay the price. My father interceded for me. That's an intercession. And that's what Jesus has done for us. When we're the ones who have broken the rules, when we're the ones who have sinned, it's Jesus who comes to the Father in our defense. St. John puts it this way, "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one." Jesus speaks to the Father in our defense. The question is, what does that conversation with the Father sound like? Well, I'll tell you what Jesus doesn't say to his Father. He doesn't say, "Dad, can you cut these kids some slack? I mean, come on, nobody's perfect. I mean, they're doing their best. I think if you gave them another chance, they'd do so much better." No, that's not how Jesus intercedes. I mean, I could have said that to God, and I often do. I make my excuses for my behavior. No, when Jesus intercedes with the Father, he doesn't point to us or our potential to do good. He points to what he's already done for us. What does Scripture say? Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. And again, the blood of Jesus, God's Son, purifies us from every sin. The point is, Jesus has already done everything necessary for our defense before God. Jesus has already paid the price. It's kind of like if somebody pays an admission for you to get into a rock concert or a dance, and then they stamp your hand, right? Well, if you decide you're going to take a walk outside, get a little fresh air, and then you want to come back in, do you have to pay again? No. You just have to show them your hand. That's what Jesus has done for us. When we wander away, when we step outside of the boundaries of God's commands, when we sin and then we want to come back to God, we don't have to pay again. No. Jesus instead just shows the Father his hands that still wear the marks of the nail. That's the proof that we are welcome back into God's family. That's how Jesus intercedes for us. But maybe that raises a question. Let me ask you, is your good standing with God dependent upon the fact that Jesus died for your sins? Or is it dependent upon the fact that Jesus is interceding for you? In other words, are you saved by what Jesus already did? Or are you saved by what he's still doing today? The answer is both are true. Lutheran theologians put it this way: Jesus' intercession in the state of exaltation is not satisfaction, it's application. Okay, what does that mean? That means that Jesus, by his perfect life and his innocent death, has already satisfied all of God's demands. Jesus said, "It is finished. The price is paid for all the sins we've ever committed." The trouble is, we still sin after Jesus died. And so Jesus has to continue to apply what he did on Calvary to our personal account. He does that on a daily basis. Jesus intercedes for us. In fact, that's what Scripture says. He always lives to intercede for us. In fact, isn't that why Jesus' resurrection is so critical for our lives? I mean, if Jesus Christ is still dead in the grave, who's going to bat for us? You're going to ask the Virgin Mary to intercede for you? You're going to pray to some saints? Man, they're all dead too. Not to mention they're all sinners. They need an intercessor as well. We have exactly the intercessor we all need in Jesus. He's the perfect intercessor. He's the intercessor who is alive. And he's the intercessor who knows what we are going through. Jesus has felt the same temptations that we feel. Again, isn't that what Scripture says? Jesus had to be made like his brothers in every way in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he's able to help those who are being tempted. My friends, remember that. Your high priest is merciful. Remember that when you fall into the same sin for the umpteenth time. Remember that when Satan tries to tell you that God has turned his back on you, he's tired of your flaws. Remember that when you realize that God has every reason to turn his back on you, but he didn't. Because Jesus is your intercessor. When I think about Jesus as my intercessor, especially on this weekend, you know what I think of? I think of my mom. How many times when I did something really stupid, how many times when I broke the rules and I had it coming, how many times did she go to bat for me? She met Dad at the door. She made the preemptive phone call. She had the long conversation in the middle of the night. And because she did, my dad, who was not a mean man, but was certainly a just father, because of her intercession, Dad had mercy on me. What my mom did for me, Jesus Christ has done for all of us a million times over. Thank God for moms. But more importantly, thank God for Jesus, who always lives to intercede for us until that day where we will see him and his Father face to face. God keep us in his grace until that day. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.